Hi everyone, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for joining us. This week we are reflecting on the year that has been 2019 and I'm sharing some of my biggest aha moments. So I hope you enjoy the conversation and let's get straight into it.
Hello Laura, how are you going?
I'm very good. I was about to say I'm tired, but that seems to be the way I start every podcast.
You're not allowed to say you were tired. I was working till 1 o'clock last night.
Yeah, we have been busy because we've got something exciting happening and it's happening right now.
It is.
It is. We have a big sale on of all of our online classes. So I thought that I would just launch right in and mention it at the beginning of the podcast so that everyone knows and then we can get into a chat about other things. So with that said, if you have been thinking about taking one of my online classes, there truly isn't a better time than to do it now because I have got some savings of up to 50% on classes. I'm not even sure if we'll ever do this again at this kind of level. So that's all I'm going to say. Head over to the website. It's laurahornart.com/classes and all the information is there. The sale is running until, let me get this right because the time zones and things make it all tricky. It is midnight, November the 30th at EST. So this is an American time zone. Even though I'm in Australia, most of my audience is American. So I just wanted to make that super clear because that always causes a bit of confusion. Okay, let's get into the podcast.
What's it about?
Well, because I have been doing this work for the sale, what that's meant is that I have been looking at all of the online classes and just been taking a trip down memory lane, and I've realized that it's nearly the end of the year. In fact, that kind of like whacked me in the face yesterday.
I hate to break this news to you, but it is the end of the year.
Okay, so this is the time of the year where I always start to get a little bit reflective. I like to think about what's happened, what have I learned, start planning for the next year. That's the planner in me that sort of starts to come out. So I thought for today we could chat about what have been some of the biggest aha moments that we've had during 2019. Well, actually, it's probably more about me. Than you. Well, let's make it about me.
Well, before you get started, would you like to do the kind words of the week? Because I get a mention.
Oh, brilliant. Okay. So you can actually be a part of this.
Yeah. This is the only bit now.
Okay. So I just wanted to read out a review. It is from Shalini and she is so inspired. That's the name over on Apple Podcasts. I like that. That's so as in sewing, so inspired. And the review is, Dear Laura and Richard, note Richard is mentioned, thank you for doing what you do. I find your conversations with the various artists and even the vlogs very inspiring. I was moved by Pamela, Amica and Susan's podcasts. So much wonderful guidance and sharing. Thank you again and keep up your great work and sharing. It's really valuable and much appreciated. Warmly, Shalini. Oh, that's a lovely review, isn't it?
It is. The only people that call me Richard are my mum and you when you're angry.
Well, thank you so much. And I couldn't agree more about the podcast interviews. In fact, that leads me into the first aha that I've had. And that is that I absolutely love chatting with other artists. I was a bit nervous about the podcast and moving in that direction of doing the artist interviews. Wasn't I?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, just even reaching out to people, asking them if they wanted to come on. And then, you know, like I haven't got any experience in interviewing. So I didn't really know what I was doing. And it's a case of just learning along the way. But I'm so glad I did because every conversation has been such a gift. I mean, there have been so many aha moments that have come through as a result of those conversations.
I'm very lucky because I get to edit them. So I get to listen to them and really, yeah, get into them. And there hasn't been a bad one yet, you know, like there really hasn't been. And I'm always telling you to do more and more and
yeah,
more.
Yeah.
Know? But it's difficult, you know, you got to get in contact, you got to ask them to do it, then you have to organize a time. But boy, oh boy, is it worth it.
Yeah, there's a bit that goes into it. But it's funny, there was another review over on iTunes or something like that and a person had written how every time we do a podcast, they think that that's the best one.
Yeah.
And then the next one comes out and that's a bit like how I feel. Like every time I have a conversation, I'm like, oh my goodness, this is amazing. Like I want to shout it from the rooftops. And then I'm like, oh, the next person can't beat that. No way. And then the next conversation, it just comes in with something different and a different perspective. And I'm like, wow. So that has been such an eye-opener for me. It has been fantastic on a personal level for me to kind of get out of my bubble, see how other people do things.
Yeah.
And it's stretched me. I mean, some of the lessons that I've learned around making more art, like focusing on quantity rather than quality. So that was in the Susan Nethercote podcast when we were talking to Pamela Bates, and she was talking about not making excuses. That just hit home as well, because I definitely struggle sometimes to make art and say things like I don't have enough time when it doesn't take much to do some sketchbook work. And then there was a conversation with Amica Wincop where she was talking about letting go of social media, and we had a good laugh about when you feel like you need to go into your studio because you want to paint something just because you haven't posted anything for a while.
You have nothing for Instagram. I better paint something for Instagram.
And it was just, it was such a refreshing and honest conversation about some of those harder and trickier challenges of being in the art business. And then last week, don't even get me started on last week.
You'll start crying.
Carrie Schmidt, oh, what an amazing episode. And she talks about the relationship that she has with creativity and how she treats it with such respect and how it's helped her get through some challenging times. Yeah, in many ways, her episode just brought together everything that had been in all of the other episodes, but just in this potent story. And yeah, I said it last week, but I encourage everyone to listen to that one. So yes, the aha moment there is that I love doing the artist interviews. I love chatting with other people, whether that be on the podcast or even just on artist dates. And I've done quite a lot of those this year where I've just met up with people, had a chat. Earlier in the year, I ran a retreat in Bali, and that was just the perfect way to start this journey. And I want to continue along this line. So the connection side of things is very important. And a few times this year, I've got stuck, like creatively, I've felt blocked. And actually, Carrie mentioned something in the podcast about, do you remember when she was talking about how people talk about being stuck, and she talks about how your creativity is always there. It's never stuck. It's always you that's stuck, and your creativity is just waiting for you to show up. And I love that. In the times when I was stuck this year, one of the things that helped me every single time get out of that was meeting with another artist and having a chat. So I want to put that out there as a suggestion for anyone that just isn't feeling their mojo at the moment. Go and meet up with someone, or go and visit some art, or do something like that where you can feel that connection. Okay, so moving on to the second aha moment that I had this year, and that was that it is okay to ask for help. So as we transitioned from this art thing being, first of all, a hobby for me, then kind of a part-time business, then a full-time business, then a family business with you involved as well full-time, we had to adapt to that. And I think it took us a while to catch up. And there was a time there where the workload of the business was getting more and more, and we were starting to struggle with other, you know, keeping on top of just housework and other things. It was just starting to get overwhelming. At some point, we decided that we needed to make some changes. And the very first thing we did was we actually got a cleaner, a house cleaner. You know, we're very fortunate that we're in the position that we can have a house cleaner now. It wasn't always the case, but we started looking at ways that we could lift the load a bit at home. We also have someone who comes and helps a bit with the garden. More recently, I have started outsourcing or working with other people on other aspects of the business. I want to do a little bit of a shout out to my friend Laurie Jacobson, who I have been working with over the past few months on graphic design, website updates. She's been helping me out with the sale that I'm running at the moment. It has been transformative. That's the word that I used when I was chatting about this with Laurie, for me to work with someone else. It has been liberating. It has provided me with a way of talking through ideas, bouncing things around with someone who isn't my partner, because we chat about things, but you know, there are some challenges with working husband and wife, you know, and sometimes you don't want to chat about things at midnight.
I don't anyway.
And but I'll link to Laurie in the show notes in case anyone wants to find out about what she does, because she works in the areas of graphic design, website design, but also coaching.
And she will keep you accountable.
Yeah, and she's been really good at like keeping me on my toes and making sure that I do the things that I want to do. One of the things that I found particularly helpful is that Laurie has been able to help me with the marketing side of the business. And I think this is an area that can be very hard for creatives. It can be difficult to do marketing in a way that doesn't feel icky or, you know, too salesy. And I struggle with this, and I'm not alone. Every time I have something that I want to share, we always come into problems, don't we? I always get a bit stuck. I don't want to push things too hard. Laurie has helped me to find a sweet spot in all of that where I still feel very happy, it feels very authentic, but that I am able to share what I've got with people who might find it helpful.
I kind of liken it to this podcast. If you were doing this podcast yourself, you would never release it because there'd be always something wrong with it. But because I edit it and when it's finished whether you like it or not. The podcast gets released every week. So it's kind of like the same with Laurie, with like stuff that you wouldn't necessarily be super comfortable with, you know, she reassures you and says, no, that's fine.
You know? It's great to have that reassurance, and working with you is similar. It's another way that I've got help this year. And I also have Helen Parkin, who is helping me out in my online class community. So she has taken a number of my classes. We actually met for coffee on one of those artist dates. And she's providing feedback and encouragement within the Facebook group. So very thankful for that, Helen. So another little shout out there. So these things have all been super helpful. And I think often we wait too long to ask for help. So our business might be growing, but we don't think that maybe we're quite ready yet, and we wait until we are completely snowed under, overwhelmed, burnt out before we start thinking about these things. I think that's a mistake. You know, I feel like you need to ask for help earlier and anticipate where you're heading.
It's funny, you will invest in your business, but you won't invest in yourself.
Yeah, it comes down to that. Like, you'll work yourself to the bone and not recognize the value in your well-being. And that's where asking for help comes in. You know, this can be applied in so many different circumstances. Not necessarily everyone has a full-time art business like we do. Everybody has situations where they could ask for help and they don't. Whether that be a little bit of babysitting from a family member, whether that's maybe even having your child in childcare for an extra day. Sometimes we feel tremendous guilt about doing something like that, and yet we need some time to be better as humans. We need to look after ourselves. These kind of decisions can make a very positive impact on your life. And then there's the flow on of that to your family, your friends, the people that enjoy the services you offer if you have a business. So that is the second thing that I learned this year, and I'm very, very happy about some of those changes and how they're shaping up. Okay, moving on to the third thing, and this is all around social media. And I don't know if people listening have noticed any changes in the way that I approach social media. It'd be interesting. I don't know, I'll throw that out there. But I talked about it quite a bit on the podcast this year about stepping back from social media, having breaks on the weekends. And the interesting thing is that I started with a really rigid approach. So I was like, right, that's it. I've had enough. I need some boundaries. I am going to stay off social media from 4 p.m. on Friday through to 9 p.m. on Sunday. That's where I approached it from. I am guessing that people listening probably know where I'm heading with this. So that started off okay, and I probably did a few weekends. But, you know, life got in the way. Every now and then we had something coming up and I needed to do some social media over the weekend, and so those boundaries got blurred. So I gave up the rigid approach, and I've been giving up structure quite a bit this year in favor of a more intuitive way of balancing life and business and all those things. And it works. Yeah. So I have been taking days off randomly when I can. So sometimes I might have a Tuesday and a Wednesday where I don't go on social media. Sometimes it's the whole weekend. So there's not a structure, but there's an underlying approach where I say it's healthy to have a little bit of a breather from social media every week. So most weeks I'll go 1 or 2 days without it.
It's funny, over the last few weeks, you've said to me on more than one occasion, Richie, I think I better post on Instagram. I think it's been 3 or 4 days.
Yeah, sometimes it's going a bit longer.
So there's no structure at all. Yeah. It's almost like you're forgetting about it and then you remind yourself. And it's funny, we did an experiment at, I think, 60 or 70,000 followers to try and get 10,000 followers in 6 weeks or something like that. And it was a professional photograph a day, 5 stories a day.
Yeah, and a video, I think, once a week. I will mention there is a podcast about this. Yeah. So I'll link that in the show notes. And carry on.
Yeah, and we hit 10,000 extra followers organically in less than 4 weeks. I think it was 3 weeks and 2 days.
Yeah. So the strategy worked.
But
there was a big but.
We were insanely unhappy.
Yeah, we didn't like it.
It just wasn't healthy.
Yeah. So we let go of that. And we've since then just stopped looking at the numbers. That's kind of tied in with the changes that Instagram has been making around the world where the likes aren't showing up. I mean, I don't think our decision was really tied in with that. That just sort of coincided. Yeah, because it all happened before that. Mm-hmm. But then that's happened too. So it's kind of cemented it in a way. I couldn't be happier actually with how things have turned out in relation to social media. I just feel so much more ease. I don't feel like I'm stuck in a comparison game. I'm showing up when I want to. When I don't feel like it, I just don't.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's great. And the funny thing is, like, we've never done sponsored posts. We've never, everything about the Instagram has always been about your art.
Yeah.
You know, and hopefully we will continue.
Yeah.
Having said that,
you might, I'm about to run ads, so there will be sponsored posts.
Yeah, but they're your ads.
Yeah.
They're ads for your courses. What I'm saying is, you know, like Squarespace ads. And,
okay. You know what I mean? Yeah, I know what you mean.
Teeth whitening ads and that kind of stuff, you know?
So while I say that we've let it go and I post a bit more in a free-flowing way, I just wanted to couch that by saying that I still have an underlying consistency in what I do, because I feel like I'm going to contradict myself with what I've said before. Because I don't know, I have that as kind of a inner discipline now. It's probably come from years and years of social media. So, you know, I'm not sort of having huge breaks and then coming back for a few days and then, you know, heading off for a week and then like big intensive period of posting and then 2 months off. Like, it's still very, like, there's a natural rhythm to it. And I think that works well with social media. I feel like Instagram just likes consistency. So I'm always sort of balancing, I guess, the needs of the business with what I need to be healthy. Okay, let's talk something arty. And I want to talk about process and my art and how that's changed. I think the realization that I had this year was that the answer lies in following your joy. And this is a message that comes through in almost every podcast conversation that I have with other artists. It's something that I've always known, but this year I have been embracing that more and more and focusing less on the outcome and more about what I'm enjoying when I'm in the moment. And that has brought about some realizations as far as what my art's all about. And I've noticed some themes in my work. So one of the things that I've noticed, and this has been kind of, it's been satisfying for me to realize this, and it might sound very simple, but I have always felt like my watercolor work and my acrylic work are like two completely different things. And I've wondered why and thought maybe I should try and integrate them a bit more. They look like potentially two completely different artists paint them. And I don't know, I felt like they don't have much connection. But then this year I realized in my acrylic work that I love flow. Like I love working with fluid paint, water, drips. And I love working with flow with watercolor. So that sounds simple, but I started to realize that there is a similarity in what I'm doing across the two. I also I also had a bit of a like moment when I discovered that I love circular shapes. And again, this sounds super simple, but I hadn't noticed how much I used circles in both of those styles of art. And now that I think about these two, and this is going to sound a little bit woo-woo, but I feel like the circles are very grounding and they're about sort of wholeness and completeness. And then the flow is very much about, it's sort of like the opposite, like allowing things to move freely, being less structured and letting go. And so the big aha moment was about just realizing those connections and how I need both. So there you go. So that's what I discovered with my art this year.
That's why talking to other artists is so important. These were things that you inherently already knew. But it's not until you talk to other artists that you realize, oh, yeah, like these light bulb moments.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, it's very healthy for your art and your process.
Yeah, it
is. To talk to other artists.
It is super healthy. And I think it's wonderful when you get to the point with your art that you start questioning things a little bit more. Like, why do I do certain things? And asking yourself, you know, what am I enjoying in all of this? Because that's where the magic is, when you start to have that level of awareness around your process and your creative practice. And it's through the conversations that you can have these incredible realizations about your work and also about your way of working and your creative life. Like almost all of these ahas that I'm going through today are rooted in conversations with other people that I've had. So another thing around my art this year was that at the beginning of the year, I did a big decluttering of my studio and I got rid of things. You know, I actually threw out some paintings and, you know, things that weren't exciting me anymore. And I'll use the Marie Kondo phrase, the spark joy. They weren't sparking joy. And that was like, I felt a bit guilty to start with. I feel like it's helped me this year to get more clarity around what it is that I want to bring into my art and my creative practice. Being quite vigilant about what you allow in, because there is so much out there. There's so much noise. There's so much inspiration. And in many ways it can be overwhelming and overloading. So now I'm actually, you know, being quite careful about what I allow into my studio and into my mind as well.
Now, we've given original pieces of art as housewarming presents, like really, really lovely presents.
Yeah.
You've donated work to the local nursery school.
Yeah.
And would I get into trouble if I said there's some stuff that you just weren't willing to give to anybody and I had to take to the dump?
Yeah, okay. I'm probably going to get in trouble here for this. But anyway, there are some things that I just wanted out. I wanted them gone. I didn't like them. I didn't want anyone else to see them. I've heard other people say, I've heard of artists burning their work because they don't want anyone to see it.
Well, but I was throwing them on the dump. I was like, I wonder if anybody will take
these. Oh, I'll get out. Yeah. Anyway, I know that things can be reworked. I know that they can be recycled. And I do a lot of that. But every now and then there's just something that is...
It just has to go.
It just has to go. I'm not going to say any more about that. That's just the way it is. It's gone.
There you go.
Why are we even talking about it?
It's gone.
It's gone. So the very last thing that I've realized, and this has sort of come up for me recently, is that some things take time. At the beginning of the year, we started with a very ambitious list of projects and things that we wanted to put into place. And most of them we have, but there have been some things that have needed a little bit more time in order to come to fruition. And they, you know, they need brewing time. It's like a good cup of tea.
I like the way you said some things take time.
Yeah.
Everything takes.
Yeah, everything takes way longer than we think. Well, let's be honest about that. Yeah, we are working on a more in-depth art program, an online class. We've been talking about this for the whole time that we've been doing this podcast. It's taking longer than we thought, but I am super happy about it because just in the last couple of weeks, I have had these realizations and like little light bulb moments and worked out what I want that program to be. So I'm glad I didn't rush it.
Yeah, well, we were convinced we had it pinned down about 6 months ago.
I mean, I have reworked this so many times because I keep on getting new ideas and I know I have to at some point just stop and you know, you've got to just at some point you've got to make the thing, even though it's never going to be perfect. So I do realize there's a difference between letting things brew and waiting for it to be perfect when it's never going to be perfect. But in this particular situation, not in all situations, but with this thing, I feel like it's needed time.
Yeah, well, the first draft was the first layer.
Yeah.
And the second layer, and then now we're on the finishing layer, aren't
we? Yeah. Yeah.
We are?
Maybe. It's in it. So
don't look at me like that.
It's getting a total rework, Richie.
Oh, my God.
Didn't I just say I just got some new ideas just in the last few days? Don't you know what that means? Poor Richie. Anyway, so we're working on that. And, you know, we've made a decision to just pull back a little bit from making the mini classes for the moment, work on this. And it's good to, like, pivot and change and not be afraid to try something different. So that's where we're at with that. But I do want to acknowledge those classes, and we are celebrating them in a way with this big sale that we're having at the moment because they've been wonderful.
Yeah, I'm super proud of them. You know, like it's even now when they're on the website over there and they just look so great, all packaged up and in their bundles. And again, look, I don't want to get all gushy and salesy and stuff. But yes, but very, very proud of them. They look good. They sound good. And very happy with them.
Yeah. So we still love our mini classes. And
I'd still like to make them because they're fun to make.
Yeah. And Richie's still keen to keep making them. So, you know, I'd be interested actually if anyone's got, you know, feedback they want to provide to us. We're always happy. I'm happy to keep reworking my ideas.
Because all I'm saying is that we could easily slip in a mini at least once a year.
Yeah, we could do, you know, the odd mini here and there. Anyway, we'll keep thinking about the format of classes, but we do definitely want to do something that is more of a like 6 to 8 week deeper dive into.
Well, I want to get this made because the longer we don't make it, the longer you have to change your mind and refine.
And I keep changing my mind as to how I want to do it.
Yes.
So anyway, I want to loop back and just mention that we, of course, are having this big sale. And depending on when you're listening to this, if you're catching this sometime into the future, the sale may have ended. But if you are listening to this as this podcast comes out, the sale is happening. It's over at laurahornart.com classes. There's also a coupon for individual classes. So I'll just shout that out too, which is BF Sale. That will get you 30% off individual classes. But there are bigger savings on bundles of classes. I just wanted to mention that this is a great opportunity to do the classes if you haven't been in a position to do them earlier in the year. So if you haven't been able to afford them, I know that there are many students, single parents doing, you know, that have contacted me. This is a sale that is going to help these classes get out to many people. So I'm thrilled about that. And I encourage people to share the sale with friends, family. The feedback that we get is that these classes are very nurturing, healing, and they can really make a difference.
Speaking of sharing, if I could just bring it back to the artist interviews.
Yes.
When we do an artist interview, could people share the hell out of them?
So yes.
The artist who you're talking to can get a good Instagram bump.
I'm glad you've mentioned that because we love when people share over on Instagram stories, the artist interviews, it's a fantastic way to say thank you to that artist for giving up their time, being vulnerable, sharing their story, sharing their wisdom.
Being awesome.
Yeah, just being amazing. So we would love it if you can get behind the artists. It helps them out enormously because the artists who come onto the podcast, it's an opportunity for them to share what they have to offer with the world. So if they've got classes, if they've got a podcast, if they've got a book or or, you know, they, or of course, if they're art, you know, their original art, prints, products, all of those things. So we want to be able to provide that platform for other artists.
And sometimes people who aren't artists might just need to hear it, you know?
Like a big part of it is actually the message, because I feel like conversations and stories, that's they have such power to impact upon others and change people's lives. So I think that's it, Ben. They're the five aha moments for 2019 that I've come up with, and I'm going to hold on to those and keep on working with them into 2020. So thanks everyone for joining me. I'd love to hear what your biggest ahas have been this year. So let us know in the comments or in a message. And I hope that you've enjoyed the podcast. This isn't the end of the podcast, even though we're reflecting on the year end. We still have episodes coming up, including brilliant artist interviews. We will be taking a short break though, and that will be around Christmas, New Year. So we'll let you know then.
Well, our release date is Wednesdays, and yeah. Christmas falls on Wednesday, and New Year's Eve falls on Wednesday.
Yes.
Or New Year's Day, sorry.
New Year's Day. So we decided, after looking at the schedule, that we are not going to put out a podcast on Christmas Day or on New Year's Day. So that will effectively be a two-week break, which seems like a nice thing to do. Have a little break, and then we'll be back in January. But anyway, that's a bit premature, because we will be back next week, and I hope that you'll join us then.